This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 26 with Jill Stanton of Screw the 9 to 5. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustler? I am so excited for this week's episode because I have with me Jill Stanton of Screw the 9 to 5. Now, I found Jill and Josh Stanton quite a while ago, actually through Periscope is where I first saw them, and I instantly fell in love with their brand. It's so on point. They say what they mean. They are just the coolest of people, and Jill is here with us today to talk about all kinds of good stuff. Now, one thing that Jill and Josh are amazing at is Facebook groups. And they're a husband and wife team that just crush teaching online marketing to people, but they do it inside of their Facebook group and inside of their membership site. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more, but I want you to be watching for a few things, which is Jill talks about how they leverage the Facebook group to actually get people engaged, how they move people through the sequence of actually becoming buyers, and she talks about how she gets people engaged and how she was able to really massively influx people into that group, because at the time we recorded it, they had over 15,000 people in the group, and it happened over the course of about a year. And so I will just let you guys listen to the episode. There's so much good stuff in here. Before we dive in, I just want to remind you, if you haven't already, we have a few live classes coming up at heartsoulhustle.com/sign-up, where I'm talking all about how to run five-figure launches leveraging the power of five-day challenges. Now, we've got a couple of times coming up. You can see them on the sign-up page, heartsoulhustle.com/sign-up, and we're going to cover all kinds of amazing stuff in those workshops, including all the things that I do with my challenges, case studies from my past launches, and systems that we use, including the cyclical challenge signup system that allow us to increase conversions and grow our list. So get over there and claim your spot. Now, without further ado, here is Jill Stanton. Hey, Jill, thank you so much for being on the show today.
I'm so pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am stoked to have you guys because we were just talking about this before we went live, but I first ran into you guys like a year ago, which feels so long ago, but I could not forget you guys because of the business name, the business mantra, and you guys are like, seriously, you're like my spirit animal of what I want to say a lot of the time, but I can't because I'm too PG. So for those that don't know who you guys are, which should be no one, but for those who don't, tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and what you do.
Yeah. So myself and my husband, Josh, run the Screw the 9 to 5. And it's really where we've kind of just taken our own experiences and all the different strategies we're using. And we use it to teach people how to, you know, not only create businesses, but grow them and scale them strategically. That way they're not working more hours. They're just making more money.
I love it. And okay, my favorite thing ever. Can you please tell us the name of your membership site?
Screw you.
I just love it.
But not like Y-O-U, not you, Zach. Screw you, Zach. It's like Screw University.
I just love it.
But it's catchy.
It's the one thing that I always remember about you guys. I'm like, oh, it's the Screw You Guys.
It tends to get some attention, yes.
Okay. Well, I've been following you guys for a while, and I mean, we run in a ton of similar circles, and I've seen some of the amazing stuff you guys have been up to. I mean, new programs, new offers, but there's like one thing that really stands out, which is you guys are absolutely slaying it with your Facebook group. I feel like it's literally been 2 months and you've added like 10,000 people. I don't know how accurate that is. That's
not accurate at all, but I really appreciate it.
Wildly incorrect, but tell us a little bit about your group.
Completely off base, but yeah. So I actually started it back in April 2015. And I wanted to start it in like November, December 2014, but I was way too much of a wimp because I was nervous that people wouldn't join or like people wouldn't talk to me or people would just sit there and mouth me. And and it tripped me up. But I was so badly wanting a way to connect with our audience, and not just in a like me talking at them like you do in your emails, but having the chance to talk to them, finding out what words they use or what problems they're having or what they really want, and just being able to have that dialogue and that connection with them. So I finally got over myself and kicked the doors open to it at the very beginning of April last year. And it's just been one hell of a ride since then, really. Like, it took a while. I don't want to sound obnoxious in that saying it took me a while to get to like 5,000 members, because that's so annoying to hear. But really, it took me from like April to December to get that first chunk of people, and we did it all organically. So we can, you know, dive into how we built our group and how we spur engagement and all that fun stuff. You know, I just wanted to make that point because you're saying it seemed like it happened so fast, and it really, it's been like 15 months of trying new things and banning members that don't fit or just are assholes. And just like weeding it out until it's really become like a super supportive family online.
I'm actually a member of that group. I'm an active member of very mm-hmm. few groups, and I love being in that group.
And we so appreciate it.
Thank you. And you guys have about 17,000 now. I'm sure by the time this comes out, it'll be at 17,000 or above. But why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? Because we have had a very similar experience, except I'm all about that paid advertising.
Yes.
Came to building my group. But tell us a little bit about, like, how did you build it up? And, you know, what did you do in those early days when nobody talks? Because I've run a couple of Facebook communities, and it feels like some are just so night and day. Like, there can be a group with 20,000 and you would rather like stick a fork in your eye than ever even go there. And then there's groups with like 1,000 people, but they're the most poppin' place on the web. So how did you build that community when you were first starting? What did you see? All of it.
Yeah. So to kick it off, I had a list before. Like, I'll be honest, I had a list of, I think it was just under 10,000 people. So it was super helpful in getting that first batch of people in there. So I sent out an email and I posted it on my Facebook page and like my Twitter, my Instagram, and I hammered it for a good month straight, like just constantly talking about it. Got our VA to make us images specifically for, you know, Facebook or specifically for Instagram or Twitter. And I just kept putting it in people's faces, like, come join our free Facebook group. Come hang out with me in my free Facebook group. Come talk to other entrepreneurs about what they're going through in this free Facebook group. I just didn't shut up. Apart from that, we used our podcast. So at the time we had a podcast. So we were putting out at the time 3 episodes a week, and then went down to 2, and then went down to 1, and then stopped it. So in each episode, that was what we would plug at the end. We didn't go for sponsors. We just used that attention to, you know, direct people towards our own platform. So the Facebook group was one of those. On top of that, we also put a dedicated button on our main navigation bar on our website that just says free FB group. You click it, it goes directly to there. I know a lot of people try and make people opt in for their list to join their Facebook group. That's so not my jam. I'd rather just remove that barrier, get them in there, and then use that attention or, you know, their presence to introduce myself and our brand and eventually get them on our list. Apart from that, I use every single interview or guest post or feature or anything that's not on my own platform to push the group. So I guarantee at the end of this interview, you're going to say, where can people find out more about you? And I'm going to say, come hang out with me in my free Facebook group. So I'm just constantly using every chance I get to move people from either, you know, iTunes listening to this podcast into the Facebook group, or, you know, a webinar into the Facebook group, or this guest post into the Facebook group, or our site into the Facebook group. So I'm constantly sending a steady stream of traffic there. So that was what we did organically. Now, like you, we've started doing paid traffic, which obviously makes things go a bit faster, but we didn't start that until we had about 5,000 members. So now that we know certain things that convert, we send traffic to different pages on our site. And then once they opt in for something, the first thing we tell them to do on our thank you page is come join the Facebook group. Then the email that they get, the welcome email after they've opted in for something, the second thing we tell them to do is join the Facebook group. So we're constantly pushing people there.
I love that. And we actually, well, I won't say stole, but we're in one of your programs that has that email, and we borrowed that. And we love that email. So I think that there's a couple things that really stuck out to me, which is, I think that there's this perception with Facebook groups that you just like start them and they grow like wildfire. But the truth is, it just brings in the people who are already aware of, which is why it feels like only the already successful, so to speak, have successful Facebook groups, because it stands to reason if you have those people, it's not a billboard. It's a community for people you already have. And I think that that's so important to highlight. But I think the other thing that you said that really sticks out to me, which I feel like people don't want to hear it because they're like, well, that's easy for you to say, Jill. That's easy for you to say, Zach, because you have a community. But when you start, you have to do the organic promotion day yeah. after day after day. And people are going to be like, I'm already in your group. And you're going to be like, good, then don't comment.
Yeah. Good, then shut up.
Exactly. And I think that that's so key, and something that people overlook is that everybody I've talked to who's super successful, they didn't start out with the $2,000 a month ad spend. They started out organically with what they had, and you allow that to build. So I love that you brought all those things up. Like, we just promoted it everywhere organically to our list.
I didn't shut the F up about it. Like, I really didn't. I'm sure people were like, oh my God, Jill, shut up. And I was like, I don't carb.
I love it. Now let's go a little bit deeper, because it is a really great way. Like, I love my Facebook group, and I'm always jockeying to be as good as you guys, but I'm just too slow.
Oh, please. You're so good.
But
you're
what so I good. Love about your Facebook group is that it is ridiculously engaged. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've noticed is, like, there's really no backlash when you guys put your foot down, which I love.
Well, if there was, I'd be like, GTFO. I would. I swear to God. If that were to ever happen, I think a lot of people, I'm sorry to cut you off. I know you probably were going with that, but I'm just going to run with this. A lot of people who want to start a Facebook group, like, we have a sales funnel on Facebook group. So a lot of people send through these questions, or they ask it in the free Facebook group. They say, what if someone gets mad at me? Or what happens if I ruffle some feathers? Or what happens if someone gets pissed? Or, you know, what happens if there's some drama? It's your group. You can delete and ban them. You can get rid of that drama. It doesn't need to be a stress, and it certainly doesn't need to be a reason you don't start a Facebook group. Because that stuff, once you get a few under your belt, I promise it's like nothing. Like, I get lipped off so much in my group. I'm just like, oh, okay, delete and ban. You know, it's just, it's a part of it.
Yes. And I love that. And I think that that's such an important distinction, is that, like, yeah, Facebook is kind of like, marketers love to say this, don't build on borrowed land. And mm-hmm. it is borrowed land, but it's still your space. It's just like if you rent an apartment, that doesn't mean your landlord can come trash it. It's still your space. And I love that you guys are like that. And I think that that's something so important to highlight, is, like, I think everybody thinks that we're so likable sometimes, which sounds mm-hmm. so conceited. But people are like, you're so likable.
Just telling the truth.
Right. Yeah. We're so likable. But you do. You get these crazy people where you're like, bye. I'd give a dollar for every person who hates me. Oh my gosh. I don't even have to start a second business.
Yeah. Right? I like reading my mom, like, the hateful messages I get, because it just stresses her out so much.
I love it. My mom's the same way. She'll be like, who is this? I'm going to find them. I'm like, don't find them. I'm laughing. You should laugh too.
For real.
I love it. Okay. So let's go a little even deeper. So now, like, it's pretty clear you're building up this reach. And essentially what a Facebook group is it's just a new touch point in whatever your current marketing is, whether it's organic, mm-hmm. paid. It's just a new touch point with a really intimate feel, because the reality is it's you. It's not mm-hmm. an automated message. It's not mm-hmm. scheduled. But how are you turning these people into buyers? How are you taking somebody who just wants to be around you and making them want to be around you with their credit card app?
Sorry, I was just in the middle of taking a sip of tea. Perfect. Before I get real up in this piece and lay this down. Okay, so I feel as though Josh and I have taken quite a strategic approach with this, and I think it can work for almost any Facebook group. So here's what we do. So we live and die by sales funnels. It's what powers our business, blah, blah, blah. So to do this and to transition free members into subscribers and then paid customers, here's how we do this. So we pull the group and we'll create like four different topics that we are hoping to write about or create content around, or, you know, create a product, that sort of thing. And I'll pull the group and I'll say, I'm working on my next batch of content. What would you like to learn most? And for example, one of the times I did this, it was like how to create an automated sales funnel, how to run a Facebook group, how to do webinars, how to write better copy. And the sales funnels was the clear winner. So we're like, okay, sweet. We know that most people in here are interested in sales funnels. So we're going to create a sales funnel around sales funnels. So this is how that breaks down. As you know, Zach, because you're an addicted, this is how we break this all down. So we start with a read magnet, which is just a free piece of content. We just chose to call it a read magnet because it rhymes with lead magnet. So your read magnet is a free piece of content, like a blog post, a video, a podcast, whatever you want. And it goes in depth on one particular interest area, pain point, or topic. So for example, using the sales funnel, I wrote a post called How to Create a Dangerously Effective Automated Sales Funnel. In that, I break down our entire process of how we create sales funnels in our business. And then I offer a no-brainer next step congruent lead magnet. So here's what I mean by that. My post is about sales funnels, and my lead magnet to that is to steal the emails I use in my sales funnels. So one of the most common things I would hear inside the free Facebook group is that people don't know what to say in their emails. They don't know how to sell. They feel uncomfortable. They don't want to come across as pushy or desperate. And so since I write all the things for Josh and I in the Screw, I decided to just give away my email. So that is a no-brainer next step. You already know how we create our sales funnels. Now you're certainly going to want to know what the heck we say in them and what you can say in yours. So once people opt in for that, they're then redirected to a one-time offer. We call them intro offers. And again, it's a no-brainer next step, but this time we're switching the relationship from subscriber to customer. So they'll get presented with a chance to buy our course, The Perfect Sales Funnel. So again, there's this congruency happening. So they've moved from a read magnet or a blog post that's all about sales funnels to a lead magnet to get the emails I use in my sales funnels to a course about sales funnels. And so then once that whole thing is set up, I can then post that free piece of content inside my group and say, check this. What I really say is, remember that time I asked you guys what you wanted to learn and you said sales funnels? Well, I wrote a whole post about it here. You can check it out. Once they're there, I know that page is pixeled and I can follow them around on Facebook with retargeting ads. Plus, it's an engaging piece of content. People can ask questions, leave comments, they can opt in, and it starts, it's like the entry point to our funnel. And that's how we transition free Facebook group members into subscribers and then into customers.
I love it. I want to highlight the one thing that you said there, which is you pixel them and you use Facebook ads. And there's two things there. Number one, I'm totally going to gush. You guys have an amazing program, Addicted. I don't remember the website. What is it?
Get Addicted Now.
Get Addicted Now. Fantastic program on Facebook ads that I personally bought, own, and endorse and love that really goes deep into this content. But one thing that stood out to me, I love the system. We use this. We straight up generate cash doing this like all the time.
So that's what I like to hear.
But the one thing you said, which is you give away your emails, and this is almost like totally out in left field, but I get this all the time. Aren't you afraid people are going to steal that?
Well, they do. I mean, you even said in the beginning of this, you said, I love this email and we've borrowed it.
Yes. So how do you kind of like, I mean, for me, like I'm totally with you. So this is totally like a for the listeners question. But how do you kind of get past that? Like if you put this content out there, I think especially in the marketing space, there's this fear that somebody else is going to take that and use that. But what I have found is that the best lead magnets, the best read magnets are, here's what I did, step by step. You can do it too. Steal my content.
Yeah.
I mean, it outperforms time and time again.
And honestly, I feel like if you are worried about that, that's just a mindset issue. Like that's really all it is. It's just scarcity. It's like, oh, don't steal my things, you know, and it's my wording. It's my vocabulary. It's my voice. I know that I have a very cheeky way of writing, and I swear, and my style of communication is not for everyone. So it's actually going to be, you know, the small percentage of people who, you know, quote unquote, steal or copy that content. But in my ad, I say, steal my email. So I'm very aware that people are going to use it. I wouldn't do that for, you know, proprietary stuff, but for an email, I'm not going to be too worried about that. And honestly, if they are going to use my wording, then at least things are getting interesting online. And I really feel as though the more you find your voice, the more you find your place in your business, your wording will become your own and you won't have to worry about stealing other people's stuff or copying or imitating or modeling. You know, it's just that stuff evolves. So if in the beginning people need to use my stuff as inspiration, have at it.
I love it. And that's exactly what I was hoping you would say. I'm the same thing. Let them take Twinsies. It. They'll never be you. Perfect. And then that other little thing you said, which I just want to highlight, is you said like of the percentage of people that will actually steal it, like unfortunately, 90% of people are going to download that, open the PDF, close it, and never come back to it.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully not, but.
Yeah, hopefully. We want more. But in the grand scheme of things, most people aren't going to steal all of your proprietary content.
Totally.
Even if you give it to them.
And even if they do, I mean, they'll fade away.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I've had it happen to me where someone's like, you stole this. And I was like, no. And then they fade away and vice versa.
No.
That's the exact conversation we had, just like that. So I know that you did one other thing with your Facebook group earlier this year, which I loved watching, which is I'm all about challenges right now. And you did a challenge with your Facebook group. So tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, that kind of evolved to really build up that community for you. There was crazy amounts of engagement when you were doing that challenge. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I, again, because a huge part of Facebook groups is paying attention to what people actually want, I started noticing that a lot of people were talking about how, you know, quote unquote, hard it is to get traffic to your site or to be seen in this space because it's getting so freaking noisy. And so I put together a simple, I think it was like a 4-week challenge called Get Seen in 2016. And it was just a free visibility challenge. Again, we ran ads to it. And it just played out over 5 simple emails. And then I ended it with a pitch to Screw You. Now, we can dive into this more, but I feel as though, and I'm sure you have, well, Zach, I know you've monetized your challenges and you've done so well with it. So maybe this is something I could easily learn from you, but I didn't do my pitch as well as I could have. There was no scarcity and there was no urgency there. So for anyone, and I'm sure you would suggest this, if you're going to pitch at the end or in the beginning or the middle or whenever in your challenge, you need to have a reason for people to act. And I didn't give it to them. Yes, it generated a ton of opt-ins and it got a ton of people into the group, which was wicked. But on that ROI side of things, it wasn't that noticeable off the back of my challenge because I did it poorly. However, 1 month later, we went to do a big promotion for Screw You, but a ton of people converted from that challenge into Screw You members. So it did eventually work and it was worth the money, but I just didn't go about it in the right way, which I'm sure you'll address in your upcoming program.
Awesome. I love it. And I think like that's one thing that I really love about challenges. And I think that Facebook groups really just amplify that is mm-hmm. you said, like, even though we didn't see a big sale on the back end, you saw mm-hmm. a lot of sales a month later. And we find yeah. the exact same thing to be true, that like we're always getting these one-off sales since we started doing challenges where people are like, well, I saw your challenge and I just didn't buy then. And so that scarcity is so, so key. And I'm so glad that so you brought huge. That up. But even if you suck or the scarcity sucks, not you, but if the scarcity sucks, it doesn't mean you lose out. You still get that huge benefit of you now have, you know, all those opt-ins, all those people in the Facebook group that are like really now champions for your brand, especially if they don't buy.
Totally.
Because they're like, oh my gosh, I got all this for free. I didn't have to spend money.
Exactly. And if they're in your free Facebook group, you're going to spend that next month or however long warming them up, getting to know them. And like we said, you can always use your Facebook group as like a channel of market research. That's what we do. We're constantly asking people what they want. So even if they don't convert right then and there, because maybe the offer wasn't the right fit for them, you now have them in there and you can find out what they do want and then create that.
And I love that. And I think like if there's one big takeaway from this interview, I'm hoping that people are seeing like it's never... Here's how I make $1 million with Facebook groups. Here's how I make $1 million with sales funnels. Here's how I do this. It's a network of connecting all of your systems together. So you guys are Facebook group ninjas, but it wouldn't matter if you had 17,000 people in Facebook group and no sales funnel. And it wouldn't matter yeah. if your sales funnels were amazing if you weren't doing the market research in groups. So, totally. I mean, I think almost gone is the day of here's how to run a Facebook group that makes you millions of dollars, because that's just not how it works. It's here's how to build a community. By the way, you still have to market.
Yeah. Well, and it's so subjective for so many things. There's so many nuances in different communities. Like what works for me might not work for someone in the health and fitness space, you know, or someone who teaches guitar lessons online or anything like that. You have to pay attention to what your community wants and kind of mold your system or your strategies around that.
Ooh, and I think that's...
It's not just a blanket strategy.
Almost, like that's... It's so subtle, but what you said there was... You have to listen to what they want. And it's so yes. funny because a lot of the stuff you're saying about the polling, I remember because I used to listen to you guys when I used to go to the gym before I started working all the time.
Funny how that happened.
Funny, right? But that's so key. And that's, you know, people ask us all the time, like, well, how do you just whip out programs that sell? And I've seen you guys do it too. I mean, I saw it with Addicted was people... I remember this one very specific comment, not like photographic, but I do remember mm-hmm. this person said... Can I just buy it already?
Yes.
And I remember that so distinctly because what you're ultimately saying is it's about reaching your community where they are, mm-hmm. building a safe space for them to communicate with you, plugging them into effective marketing systems. But ultimately, it was never about your marketing system. It was about what your person wanted, and you gave it to them in an order that makes the most sense from a marketing standpoint.
Well, and nothing bothers me more than hearing people say, oh, I've created this blah, blah, blah for this and that. And you're like, did you ask your audience? And they're like, well, it's like what I know. And I'm like, nah, Yeah. Because I made that mistake and it resulted in a program that actually did not sell one copy. Like no one even clicked the frickin' button.
See?
So I'm like, stop guessing and just ask them.
Yes, that's so key. And I did the same thing. We sold three. We had to refund one person. One
person
left our money out of sympathy. They were like, you're trying, just keep it. And one person, we had to opt in for an hour of coaching. I was like, I can just give you an hour. The worst. So
the worst, actually.
100%. It's like a pit in the bottom of my stomach when somebody says, I built my whole program. Now I want to build my audience. And I'm like, ugh. Did it backwards.
You kind of did it backwards.
Make people like you before you ever ask for money. It's so easy.
Yes. I mean, I think people do it because they don't know not to do it, right? Because you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know that stuff when I was first starting out. I didn't even know you're supposed to ask people. I didn't even think maybe I should ask people. You know, I just didn't know that that's what you're supposed to do. That's why it's so important to, like, you know, do some groundwork, do some research, get involved before you start pouring resources into creating something that might not sell.
Yes. And I love that. And I want to wrap up with one more question and then we'll go into like the rapid fire. So I won't keep you forever. Can you talk?
I could talk to you forever though.
I think we could talk forever. Just a 4-hour show. So there's one thing, and I see this in your group. I see this in my group. I see this in other big groups. And I feel like people kind of get advice a little twisted. And so I'd love clarification from you as the Facebook group expert. What are your thoughts on people who come in and go, oh, I'm going to launch a program about blah, blah, blah. What's your biggest struggle in someone else's group? And my kind of opinion is that it's bad juju, but I want to hear what you think. Or is there a way that people could be doing this 1,000 times more effectively? Because I see it time and time again where people either ask it and I'm reading the feedback going, this is never going to sell a program because these are not their real problems, or these people were never going to buy from you to begin with. Or dead air?
I think, well, you know what? I actually didn't view it as such a huge thing until you were saying that it's a big pet peeve of yours. And then I'm like, yeah, I guess that is kind of shit to have someone go into your group and mine your audience for, or your community for stuff for their own business and their own offers. But honestly, I feel like most of the time, like I've seen so many people come into my group and they ask questions about, you know, moms. And I get it. There's probably a lot of moms in there. There's 17,000 people, but that's not really your audience, right? And I just feel as if you've stumped me on this because now I'm changing my opinion. And I'm like, yeah, that is annoying. And I see it all the time in my group, actually.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's what you said is like, it's only a pet peeve because I'm watching people doing that. And what you just said, you're getting 50% great feedback and 50% feedback from people who are not your audience. It's like if you try to sell a Lexus to a family that's going to buy a minivan, who cares how much they like the Lexus?
And I always wonder, are they asking the questions to get the answers they want to hear? Mm-hmm. Or are they actually asking the question to get the answers they need to hear? Ooh. You know what I mean? Like someone's like, I'm going to create a course about productivity systems for busy moms. And they ask a group of just random people and people are like, yeah, I think I would like that. Or maybe, yeah, I struggle to work out sometimes because I can't find the time. You know, their answers are so mixed. It might not be the best form of market research because you're going to kind of a group that's maybe sort of your audience, but not clear cut, not clear as a bell. So I feel as though you've stumped me on this one, Zach, and I'm going to have a think about it because if that's the case, I'm going to talk my admins and we're going to start deleting them.
I love it. Well, and I think that that's ultimately a really good place to wrap up because what it ultimately comes back to is at the beginning of the interview, we said the way you were able to get data was you started organically and you started with your people where they were. And I've done this before. I did this exact thing with my program. I was like, well, you have to do market research. And I asked in this big group of 500 people who had all paid to be there. And then not a one of them bought.
Really?
So go figure.
And I think you just brought up a great thing because as you were talking, I was listening to you 85%. The other 15% was thinking to myself, well, they're asking a bunch of people that they can actually never sell to because they can't promote in the group. Mm-hmm. So how are they ever going to make money from those people? So I think it's just, it's a personal preference, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if it feels heavy to you, delete them. If you feel okay with it, keep them.
Love it.
It's so subjective.
I love it. Well, we'll end with an easier question for you.
I was going to say, please don't end on that. I don't want to go
We'll give you some good, easy questions. So it's been so much fun. We'll wind down. What is something that people could do in like the next week or so based on what they heard today to like really start moving their business forward?
Well, number one, if they haven't already, just start a Facebook group. Even if it doesn't work out the way you want it to, give it a shot. do your best, see what happens, learn from it, tweak and try again. But from my personal experience, anyone who wants to create a business that is fueled by an audience or a community of sorts, Facebook groups are one of the easiest ways to do this because people are already hanging out there, you know, and they show up in their feed. They're easy to interact in. You can search, you can connect with people. They really are just such a good tool for not only marketing your business, but being able to create that connection with your audience.
I love it. And what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
To me, I think it means working hard for what you want. And I'm not saying work yourself into an early grave. I just mean working hard to achieve your goals, whether that's through, you know, the routines you keep, the people you hire, the tasks you focus on, the whatever, the marketing you put in place, the promotions you do, the interviews you do, whatever it is. Hustle to me means working towards your dreams.
Oh, I love that answer. And finally, where can we find out more about you? Do you have a Facebook group perhaps?
Oh, doesn't this sound familiar? Yeah, if you want to hang out with me, you can come join our free Facebook group over at screwcommunity.com, or you could just go over to our cyber home base, and that's screwthe9to5.com, all spelt out.
Perfect. And we'll link both of those in the show notes. I'll give you guys a link in just a second. But before I do, Jill, I just want to give you a big thank you for being on the show today. It's been an absolute blast, and hopefully we'll have to have you guys back soon.
Thanks so much for having me. I love chatting with you.
All right. Such a fun episode. Seriously, Jill is such a blast to talk to and hang out with, and I just love everything about their brand and what they stand for. And of course, we will put links to everything, including Jill's Facebook group at heartsoulhustle.com/26. Again, you can get the show notes from this episode at heartsoulhustle.com/26. Now, I would highly recommend that you head over there, join their group, and check out what's going on, because Jill talked about some really awesome stuff, including the power of their Facebook group and how they're using it to pull their group, to create content for their group, and to ultimately create content that people are hungry for. Now, back in episode 20, we talked about how important it is to validate your ideas and survey your audience, and Jill really leverages her group to do just that. So I'd highly recommend you check out the show notes, join their group, and see the power that Facebook groups can have for your business. Until next week, have an amazing time hustling, and I will be back in your ears soon. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.